DIR Radio is mainly an opinion paranormal talk show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by DIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by DIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para Investigators Radio.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Already it's Monday and you know it's PIR Radio time. We have a great show lined up. I can't wait to get to the show. It's a topic we actually have not discussed in 2.5 years of doing PIR Radio, so it's going to be a great show. We're going to be talking about Bigfoot research, and it's going to be awesome. But as always, don't forget, we always give out our website address. Don't forget to check us out at www.pirradio.com to get all the updated show information, podcast information, look at the front page. We have a whole bunch of information that you can check out. So check it out when you can. Also, don't forget to like our fan page. The more fans, the better. So a huge shout out to all our live listeners and to our podcast listeners again last week. We had a great week of downloads. We had about 3,000 in about a 6-day span. So that was awesome. So I have my co-host with me, as always. It's probably, I would say, a little chilly in Philly today.
Not too bad, a little rainy in Philly, but actually I'm loving the spring weather. It's finally like a real spring where it's kind of cool at night and warm in the sun, or not even warm, and fairly warm in the sun in the daytime. So this is a real spring. And, like last year, I remember it like went from cold to being slammed hot, and I hated it. But
updates before we get to our show?
I do have some updates. Kurt, we have a case that's brewing. As everyone knows out there in podcast land, that I am the case manager for Tri-County PRS here in Philadelphia area, also known as Delco Ghost. Got a call, demons, possession, some other craziness. I believe all this. I can go for it. I'm down.
Hey, Bill. Let's do your updates at the end of the show. That way we can.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But I want to say that and. I just want all the podcast listeners to stick around for the end of the show because we are going to give some things away at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
So if they want to, we'll get our guest in and out, and then at the end I'll tell my story of this demonology, and we'll give some things away.
Awesome. Tonight's guest is going to be Tom Biscardi. He's a Bigfoot researcher, and we're really excited for him to come on and spend some time with us to talk about. It's one of those cryptozoology topics, and we have not actually had something. We haven't had a guest on to discuss Bigfoot at all in 2.5 years. I'm surprised, but I'm really excited, and we do have our guest on the line with us. Tom, are you with us?
I sure am, fellas.
How's it going today? Thank you again for coming onto our show and talking about Bigfoot with us. We're really excited to have you on.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you guys.
So, I know everyone will want to know, I'm sure you've been doing this for a while, but just some background information, what got you started into researching Bigfoot?
Well, this past April, just last month, believe it or not, was my 38th year in tenure in pursuit of this creature, believe it or not. And I got started back in 1967. First time when I saw the ever prominent film that everybody in the world saw, the Patterson film, Roger Patterson film, that was taken in October 22nd in Bluff Creek, California.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I got started way back then.
So I've seen a lot of that film. What intrigued you? And of course now they digitally enhanced it, and what's your feeling on that film, and what made you so interested in? Back then, and after, I'm sure you saw the enhanced shows, the footage, and what you're feeling now about the film.
Well, that's a great question, by the way. That's the thing, believe it or not, that got me into this crazy business, just like so many other people around the world, fellas. It wasn't until I met Roger before he died back in November of 71, and I just recently saw his wife, Patricia, mm-hmm. back in, I guess about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which we have her on film, which will be out in our new movie, Bigfoot 3.
Is that, say that again, that's Bigfoot 3?
Yeah, well, Bigfoot Lives 2 just came out yesterday.
Awesome.
And, all your listeners can go out there and see what we've got. It's on...
Yeah,
how
would they see that,
Yeah, go to searchingforbigfoot.com.
Okay.
It just got released yesterday. It's a continuation of Bigfoot Lives 1, in which Bigfoot Lives 1 was an award-winning documentary from the Pocono Mountains Film Festival in PA, Pennsylvania.
Yay!
We won. Yeah, we won back in 2007 as Best Documentary and Best Director. And it was a kind of a big honor for us,
awesome.
You know, coming out of the box for the first time. Since then, we've got The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, which was just released about 2 months ago, and then Bigfoot Lives 2. And Bigfoot Lives 2 is, if everybody out there who's seen, you can go to Netflix, Amazon.com, and buy it or download it and on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com also. But if any of the people out there has seen Bigfoot Lives 2 is probably 10 times better. Now, I don't know if you guys ever watched on Thursday night The Swamp People. You ever see that?
I've seen previews for it, but I haven't actually seen the show for it.
Okay. Well, it's getting a lot of recognition right now. And Terrell Evans, who's in there from Slidell, Louisiana, is in my show, which filmed with us about 2 years ago when we were out there in the Honey Island Swamp, where his wife, Dana Holyfield's grandfather, had taken footage of the Honey Island Swamp creature 25 years prior, and they found this film, this footage, and we've got their permission to run it in our movie. But you'll see us there when we're out in the swamp and with the gators 12 feet long and one of our P-Roos, one of our boats, hit a cypress knee, and, of course, we capsized. And,
oh, no.
And one of the gators came out and tried to jump on us, and they were going to shoot him. I said, no, hell, man. I said, the guy down under is out there rolling around on them, and there's seven or eight of us. Why don't we just get on the damn thing and see what we can do? And we did. We brought it to the shore.
Man, how about you? My heart would be pounding so quick, though. I thought.
Well, you're going to see some stuff never seen before footage that we've gotten documented, and from Texas, footage from Louisiana that people will see for the first time ever, and it flows so beautifully. I mean, there's going to be footage from Texas, Louisiana, Kentucky, Florida.
Hey, Tom, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I want to know, have you seen it? Have you seen Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it?
38 years tenure, I've seen it six times.
That's awesome.
I've had six encounters, and all my crew who's in the A-team with us, every one of them have either seen it, seen what it's left behind, i.e. footprints in the mud and the snow.
Some shit too, right?
I've heard vocalizations. I've heard... Oh, yeah, tree knocks, rock clapping, and that's the reason why we continue on, because we know it's our ever-ending quest of getting one of these damn things.
Now, I have to ask, you know, paranormal investigation, it seemed like a boon with television show. Are you seeing an increase of more and more people trying to research and to collect evidence to prove that Bigfoot actually exists? Are you seeing more groups out there? Since I know you've been in the field for 38 years, have you seen, as the years gone by, especially nowadays, are you seeing more and more people researching and trying to go on investigations or, you know, trying to find it?
Yes, I have. To answer your question, yes. It's, you know, back in my day when I first started, I had a sharp stick and a flashlight. Today people got, you know, thermal images, heat seekers, infrared trail trip cameras. It's all at their disposal, which we never had back in our day, but we've got all that stuff today, of course. But yes, I think I'm honored because we, when I talk about we, me and my team have brought this thing out in the open, and I think we've crossed mainstream America, crossed over to mainstream America, because there were so many people out there that didn't believe. You know, I've been ridiculed, I've been criticized all my life because of what I do. But when they go out and they see, and I invite everybody when we come to a town, what we've got, and I invite them to come on expedition with us, and that's all it takes. It takes them, you know, one night to get out there in the brush under the canopy of darkness, and they can't see nothing because it's pitch black. Can't even see their hand in front of their face. And before you know it, they'll hear something paralleling us walking onto a biped, and they'll say, oh, my God, what was that? Or they hear this thing, this vocalizations, or we'll do a tree knocking or clap, rock clapping, and it'll respond to it.
Hey, or they'll you know what? I want to know a question, Tom. I got another question. I want to know what you know about Pennsylvania as far as this Bigfoot character. Where does he hang out?
Well, you and all your guests, your listeners out there, can go to our searchingforbigfoot.com and go to our table of contents, click on there, and just go to Pennsylvania and see where exactly where we've been. I mean, it's been
right.
So long. When I was in Pennsylvania,
I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to searchingforbigfoot.com, and I'm going to look up Pennsylvania because, you know, I live here in Philadelphia, and I know my friend has a place up in Lake Wallenpaul Pack by the reservoir. So I do frequent the Poconos every now and again. And, you know, I guess for me, I always believed in this Bigfoot character. And, I watched that show on History Channel about the evil things. I don't know what it's called. Oh, shoot. But anyway, they had an episode of White Plains, New York with the Bigfoot, and that really, that was a good episode. These guys were in the cabin, this thing's throwing things at the cabin. They even left a nail board out, and the thing stepped on it over the winter.
I saw that episode.
You did?
I know what you're talking about, yes.
You know this too?
I don't mean to laugh at you, believe me. I don't mean to laugh at you, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Tell me.
I know the one that you're talking about, and it has to do with the associate anthropologist, and, you know, you can do a lot of different things when it comes to a felt marker pen, believe me, okay?
Okay.
And I think you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if we're going to talk about something serious, let's talk about people who are in the trenches. Let's talk about the people who really get out there and roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty and their feet wet, okay?
I mean, let's hear about then your most notable sightings that you and your crew, your A-team had experienced. And I think that gives it, you know, that's going to give us more.
Well, let me focus, son, on what you just talked about. You know, go to Dolphin County, PA,
okay?
Where ATC came out and filmed us. Now, all you need to do is go to my website and go to Pennsylvania.
I will.
And look at the video right there. And this happened in 2009 and 10. And tell me what you see in that video, okay?
I just can't do it right now because the audio will play through the radio. But I definitely will check it out.
You see the Appalachian Trail where these creatures are traveling north to south, south to north, because that's exactly what they do, okay, during the seasons.
Well, I know, that's what makes the Appalachian Trail so scary for some. I mean, there's reports of campers and hikers that, you know, go up and down the trail with these things, you know, and they see it,
but
they hear it.
You can actually see and hear. You don't have to turn it on, turn the video on, but just look at it and look at the enhancements by our guy on the bottom where it shows the breast, the baby in its hand, the foot. You know, it's incredible. And I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm looking at. And it isn't a damn leaf. I mean, you could see the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the shoulder. But go take a look for yourself, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay,
I'm bringing it up now.
I'm watching the video, too, as we speak, too. You can, everyone, if you're listening to the podcast, just go to searchingforbigfoot.com and click on the scroll down to table contents and scroll down to Pennsylvania, and you'll see the video, and just click on the video, and you'll be able to see what we're actually talking about. But
the top one, the 12-7?
I'm watching the one that's 2 minutes and 35.
The one underneath. The footage that's probably the best you've ever seen.
All right. Here we go, yo.
Now,
I
had a real quick question. When you're out on these expeditions, Tom, does the weather matter? Or have you seen sightings in real cold weather, real warm weather? Does rainy weather, snowy, does the weather have any effect on sightings?
No. As a matter of fact, I'm probably the only guy that's gone out in the winter. But let's stay focused on Pennsylvania. Go back to 1207. Take a look at us out there in that snow. We were there at Parkerdam State Park, where there was action going on, where one of the park rangers had seen one of the creatures. But it's all there.
Yeah, I'm watching the videos too.
Yeah, no, it's ruining. So in your 38 years of this, you know, you have a lot of evidence, I guess, if you have this video footage, and I'm going to wait for mine to load because it's spooling as I'm talking, but we can continue on talking about what was the most scariest moment with running in with this Bigfoot character? Where were you, or do you know it, you know?
Well, the most – I don't get scared because I'm the type of guy now, because I've been doing it so long, fellas, that I'll use myself as bait if need be. Just to prove a point that, hey, man, you know, okay, come and get me. But I've become so schooled in this thing that I can pretty much tell whether there's something there within the first 10 minutes in an area because I know what to look for and know what not to look for, okay?
But
to ask you a question, what was the time that the most that I was maybe afraid. It was a time that I saw the creature 12 feet away from me.
Wow.
And we weren't looking for it.
That was Bill playing a video.
Yeah. What happened was we were taking our dogs, our bear dogs, and the hounds, and we were taking them on a run. This was October. This was many years ago. Up in Mount Bernie, about 4,000 feet elevation in California. And we were going to the old lumber trails. So we're going early in the morning because dew was still out on the trails and the dirt, and anything that crossed it that early in the morning, you would see the indications.
I guess I'll cut that out because... Sorry, man.
So we had gone up about 4,200 feet elevation, and all of a sudden we see these prints crossing over the road. We stop. We said, oh my God. Neither one of us got a gun because we had the dogs. We were going to do them for the run, so we left them in the back of the truck, and we followed. We walked in about 150 yards, and all of a sudden we see this creature hoovered over a choke cherry bush, and it was eating the choke cherries. So we stopped, we didn't talk, about 12 feet away, like I said, and all of a sudden this thing rises, had choke cherry juice all over its hair and mouth, turned and looked at us, and I'll never forget that day. It kind of looked at me and looked through me and said, who are you and why are you here, and why are you intruding my area? Hmm. And at that time, I was there with my tracker's wife. And we said, let's back up slowly, and we ran like hell, believe it or not. And we got back in the rig and went back down the mountain and assembled everybody, and, of course, by the time we got back there, it was gone. But to answer your question, that was probably the most scariest time we ever had with one of these things.
So close, and and you're not expecting it, I guess, you know?
Well, that was the whole point, yeah. I mean, there's points now that, my God, you know, there was times when we were up in Clarence, New York, upstate New York, because you guys are in that side of the woods, so I'll just cite some of the things that we had. It was the ex-mayor there had taken pictures of this thing while he was out feeding his horses.
Awesome.
And if I'm mistaken, let's see, it could be in there too. Yeah, just go to New York. And we have Elmira, New York. We've got Elmira twice. We've got Hans Mobius. There it is, right there. And it tells Mobius, so you'll see the photos, what he took.
So I want to go, Tom. I want to go back to the when you first saw this video, this film, because it was actually filmed back then in 1967, the Patterson film. And then what happened next? You saw this film, you became intrigued, and what you said then a few years later, you started your expedition. I know in the one video I see you have this van. It's clearly you're not shy about telling people what you're doing out there. I mean, I'm sure people walk up to you and say, "Hey, I read your truck. I have something to tell you." But so back then, you decided a few years after seeing the Patterson film or hearing about it to do something. And what got you kicked into this, and how'd you go about it?
Well, it was because of that. It was because of the Patterson film. I saw the footage on the Johnny Carson show. I was working swing shift at Lockheed. I come home and I turn on the Carson show, had a brew in my hand, sat down in my leisure chair, and boom, here I see this guy, this cowboy on Johnny Carson's show and showing this film, what he took. And I says to myself, what the hell? How come we can't find something that's roaming the woods like this, especially if this guy can catch it on film? Well, the next day I go out and go to the library and find everything I can find out about Bigfoot, which I did, and the rest is history. Then my heart was broken a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I met up with Patricia again, and that was Roger Patterson's wife, because he died, I told you, in 71 when I met him in November. He died that, February of 72. Then I met the guy that was in that suit, Bob Hieronymus. I met the guy who made the suit, Philip Marlboro and Philip Morris in North Carolina.
Wow.
And I went out there. I went up to Yakima, and I got the whole thing filmed. Tried to get Bob Gimlin on film. He wouldn't even come to the door. Because he knew I was out there, and he knew that I knew the truth. I got sworn affidavits from the family that the whole thing was a ruse, and how the thing was made, and how much he paid for the suit, $435 from Philip Morris. And Philip told him how to doctor it up and get shoulder pads from the football team, and the waiters, fishing waiters, put them on, and they'll bulk it up around the back for his butt, and he used a pillow. I got the whole story. It's on film. That'll all be out in Bigfoot Lives 3. I've got so much film, and I just haven't had the time because of my we have a new movie coming out at the end of the year. It's called Bigfoot 3D. It'll be in the big theaters. We have a reality show in production right now through Dick Clark Productions. So I've been very busy, and in between, like I told you guys earlier, I'm leaving a week from today, and we're going to zigzag the country because of a lot of hot spots going on and a lot of drama. I got to just tell it like this. I mean, we've uncovered letters from the CIA to the FBI in Arkansas where they had captured one of these creatures, and they bred it. So hybrids got loose after so many years. One of them was called Lucifer, and the other one was called Sapphire. And they had a team go out, track them, and kill them. We got the pictures of all this stuff, and I'm gonna document all this stuff and share it with the world. As a matter of fact, around the 27th or 29th, I'm going to have a press conference while I'm in Fayetteville. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to bring it all out. And there was this facility, they called it C4, that went underground 300 feet where they had all this experimental crap going on. It's closed today, but I'm going to bring it all out. I'm just going to, all this stuff that I had, you know, QT, and I wasn't talking about it. I'm bringing it to the public now. We'll let them see it as we saw it, how we uncovered it.
Don't you fear retribution, though, from the government or something? Do you think they'll come after you?
Well, we've had them come after us before. You know, we're not afraid of that. You know, this guy who contacted me, he says, Tom, he says, I'm coming to you. He says, you're a public figure. He says, can you help me and will you protect me? And I told him, I said, look, there's probably places on this earth. Hello?
We're still good.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear us, Tom?
Now I can.
Okay. Probably a little internet, but maybe they're listening in or something.
Well, they can. You know what? And I tell them, bring it on. Because, you know, I've been on a Megyn Kelly show a bunch of times. And you can go to BigfootLiveNews.com. I've been 43 times on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, Biography Channel, all of them, okay? And there hasn't been anybody that's been documented as much as I, okay, with the news media, all around the country, even in your town in Pennsylvania, Dolphin County. ABC came out, and, you know, you can see it there on my website. I don't hide any of this stuff, okay?
So what was the government doing with this Bigfoot and breeding? What was the point of all this? You said a couple, you know, Lucifer got away with the other one. What was the point of all this, you know?
Well, they wanted to see if they could produce, you know, with humans. It's very apparent.
Oh, really?
When you see the pictures, it's going to blow your mind.
Are they on your website, or are they going to be in the movie?
No. But it'll be out. I'm going to put it out to the world when we're out there on the 29th of this month.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. So this was more hybrid for military use, you're thinking? Is that what your gut feeling is?
They got the same thing going on right now. Okay? They have the same thing going on right now in Fort Lewis, Washington.
Wow.
We have maneuver maps that we've secured that show the trainees there that all these animals and creatures to beware of on the land when they're having maneuvers. Guess what one of those animals or creatures are?
Bigfoot.
That's right, a Bigfoot. And we have one of the original maps depicting that.
From the trainees, the privates, the grunts.
So this is Fort Lewis. This is Fort Lewis training camp. It's a maneuvers map.
That's awesome. I wish I was in Fort Lewis to get this map or see it or experience it, because I would be all gung-ho about that, let me tell you.
You know.
So there's a lot going on, fellas, out there that the, you know, John Q. public are not aware of, okay? And the only reason why we're aware of it is because this is what we do, okay? We eat, sleep, and drink Bigfoot, okay? We're in terrain that people don't even know about. GPSs, forget about it. Unless you've got a real compass, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can't get back out because there's people that have been going around in circles in some of these swamps and marshes and don't know how the hell to get out of there. And one of them being in Louisiana.
I bet.
Now, you know, looking at your website, internationally, you know, I know we've seen shows like Destination Truth where they're searching for the Yeti in Nepal. Have you had a chance to actually go to Nepal to, you know, search for the Yeti there?
I have not. You know, I don't need to leave the United States and go to these other places to look for it because I know it's here. Remember, I was one of the biggest doubting Thomases in the world and didn't believe in Bigfoot.
So when did that change? Yeah, right. When did that change and make you convinced that there was something there and that you needed to research this?
When I saw one myself, with, you know, up close and personal, and I said, holy crap.
Yeah, when did that happen? When was that first?
The first time I ever saw one was back in 1973.
Okay.
And it was northeast of Spokane, Washington.
That was your residence? You lived out that way?
No. Lived in California.
Okay, so you traveled up north.
Lived in California. We traveled around 140,000 miles a year.
Okay.
So we don't let no grass grow, that's for damn sure.
That's a lot of miles to cover.
You bet. But you know what? It's not going to come to us. We got to go to it.
So you're up in Washington looking for what?
Looking for one of the creatures, and all of a sudden my tracker, through the binoculars, had seen something that was on a ledge. This was limestone, and the sun had just come out, and limestone holds the heat. And here was one of these creatures sunning itself on this limestone way up high. It was on an adjacent cliff from where we were. And my gosh, I couldn't believe it. That was the first time I ever seen one of these creatures.
And you knew, at that point that this was no guy in a costume sitting on the ledge waiting for you, because he probably couldn't even know that you were there.
Oh, big time. And better than that, my tracker, with his 30-06, had a scope on it, shot at the damn thing, and knocked him off the cliff, and he fell a good 125 feet down. And the time we made it down the adjacent cliff we were on to the area where he was, of course, we thought he was dead from that fall.
Of course.
Well, no way in hell. We followed the blood into the public park, and that's when we had to stop because they were up there in Skamania County. They want to throw everybody in jail, you know, looking for Bigfoot.
Is that true, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They give you a fine. They tried to fine me $10,000.
Oh, really? Wow. Just for looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, Tom, I think that little explanation, I think I'm going to say one thing to you. I think you've told this story so many times that you forget the important detail was a 30-06 in a scope and the falling 125 feet. I mean, I think the listeners are really going to be ecstatic to hear that, because when you said that, that changed my whole attitude, one, towards this interview, and then two, the fact of it happening. You know, I mean, that's pretty substantial.
And it's one thing I want to do, you know, as a paranormal investigator, to go on a Bigfoot expedition. I think that would be interesting. I think it'd be exciting and fun. I think the adrenaline, I think you get a lot of adrenaline pumping out there. I think
well, fellas, I'm going to tell you this. I invite very few people. But I'm going to be on the East Coast. I'm going to be out there north of Tampa, Florida, a place called the Green Swamp. And we just obtained our permits today. But I'm going to be going out there from the 3rd to the 6th.
Sweet.
Of June. Okay?
I'll
invite both of you guys to come on down and be on the expedition with me.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I can physically because of work, but I would love to be down there.
I'm honored. Yeah, with work, man, that'd be awesome. Who knows? I'll get in contact with you. That'd be interesting.
You got all the details, but I want you to come out and see it. I want you to see all the pythons that have grown abnormally large, and they let them loose.
Pythons.
And my God, I can't believe every time we've been there, these large snakes. 15 to 22 feet long. You say to yourself, where in the hell did these things come from? Okay.
If I saw one of those, I'd probably pass out. I'm terrified of snakes.
You'll see black panthers that have migrated down in there. You'll see the alligators you'll see the damn snakes. You know, people don't realize what's out there. They got the creature down there called the skunk ape because it has that terrible smell.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you're actually searching for the skunk ape. I've heard it called the Okeechobee ogre.
Yeah. We were in Okeechobee down in that area, and that'll be out in our next movie, too, Bigfoot Lives 3. It's already been filmed. They used to have, there's land of 10,000 islands out there also, in which the fishermen used to see these creatures swim from island to island. It was pretty incredible stuff.
Have you had the experience of smelling a skunk ape?
Oh, yeah. Not just a skunk ape, one of these Bigfoot. I mean, these creatures don't bathe like you and I. You know, they it's an amazing thing. The people around the world saw Patterson's film, okay? And they all think Bigfoot looks like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell your listeners right now, go out and buy Bigfoot Lives 2 because we got some never-before-seen footage of the creature. And you'll see it on our stat cameras infrared in Texas, and you'll see them there in Arkansas, and it'll blow your mind. You'll say, oh, my God, because the ones in the Pacific Northwest, they're bulked up because they got mountains and the terrain is a lot different than it is in the south and the southeast.
Because mm-hmm.
you're talking about flat land, swamps versus mountains and big trees and elevation, okay? And the one sound that are in Arkansas, in that area, those are three-toed creatures versus five. There's a lot of inbreeding going on because there wasn't that many of the creatures migrating at the time. Now, you know, we've seen this thing almost triple in size in 30 years, okay? Where we thought there was almost 3,000, now there's over 9,000 of these creatures. And how did we find out? It's because of the sightings from around the world. It's real simple.
So
it's just amazing to see that. You're in Washington, the state of Washington, one day, and all of a sudden, I think one of you guys is from Illinois, and boom, you'll get something from somebody walking or going down a country road in Illinois, and the next thing you find out, they saw one of these creatures.
So have people been attacked by these creatures since the sightings have increased?
No, just the only thing that we heard about was the guy... years and years ago, I forget the guy's name offhand.
All right.
But he was sleeping in his mummy bag, and all of a sudden one of these creatures came and picked him up and his gear and brought it to a cave where one of these creatures were living with its female and a young. And that was the only time. And then there was another kid.
That was actually on this other Monster Quest show, too, this kid that got picked. He was a younger fellow. I'm calling him a kid, but he was a younger fellow, and then he got picked up and taken back, and something happened with the food or something, the coffee or something. I forget. They were rooting through his stuff or
exactly
something.
What happened was they had taken the coffee urns or the ground coffee,
right,
and they put it in his mouth and started eating it, and he coughed, and that was the way he got out.
Right.
You're exactly right, yeah. It's amazing, you know. You hear all these stories. And my tenure, we have never, except for in Texas, outside of Texas, when I had 25 people out there, and it was pretty incredible when they had cornered a young one of these creatures, and the next thing we go to find out, the family of these things had pummeled the crew with a bunch of rock to get its attention away from the young one in the tree.
Oh, you think that? Do you think all this rock throwing is a defense mechanism or a scare tactic to get move people along?
You bet, big time. You know, you talk about Illinois. We were in Funk's Grove, Illinois. You know about that?
I just moved here, so I don't know. I'm up in the western suburbs of Chicago, so I don't know much about Illinois.
Okay, if you go to there's a town called Normal, N-O-R-M-A-L. It's a college town.
Okay.
But down below, there's next door to it, there's a place called Funk's Grove, Illinois. It's on our website. You could see it. It's amazing. This Funk's Grove is maple trees and the syrup there. Unbelievable. The stuff that goes on. Verona, Illinois. If you go there and see what's going on. I mean, it's amazing. People say, Illinois? Yeah, Illinois. And the reason why Illinois is because Chicago, Illinois is a city. It's a metropolitan city. You go outside of Chicago, and there's territory there that's incredible. It's
yeah, Normal's by Bloomington. Now I remember. You know, it's southwest of me.
Yeah. But you know, there isn't. I've been in every state except for Maine. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And we've zigzagged this country, but I only go now to the places that are hot, and hot meaning hot spots.
No, I know we only got a couple minutes late, but real quick, I saw a preview for an upcoming TV show. It's called like Bigfoot Hunter. I can't tell you what channel it's on. Do you know anything about that? Did you give any input about that, or what's your opinion about it?
Yeah, I can give it to you. There's one of my competitors did a show with Bob Saget, the comic from TV. And they went out looking for Bigfoot, and it was kind of a sparf, you know, and everybody was laughing to see how, oh, my God, they made fun of these Bigfoot hunters. And they kind of did because it was just a spoof. And next thing you know, that they did six episodes, and they're out there looking for Bigfoot. And it airs on the 5th of June.
Yeah, that's what it was like the 5th or 6th of June that it debuts on. I couldn't remember I don't remember what channel it was. I think it might be like the Discovery or the History Channel or something.
No, it's not the History Channel.
It might even be Animal Planet. I can't remember. I'm not 100.
That's the Animal Planet. That's where it's on. It's on the Animal Planet.
So yeah, I just saw a preview, and I wanted to ask you what you thought of that. But I know
what I think about it is it's real simple. It's guys that cannot do it on their own. They go to my website, just like you just have right now. They see where we've gone and the hot spots that we've had, and they contact the people that we've contacted, or they listen to me on my radio show every Wednesday night, which we're going in. This is our fifth year, by the way,
awesome.
On BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. And where there's real encounters with real people each and every week around the globe. So these people get their information through us.
I didn't even know you had a radio show. I'm going to Bigfoot Live. Is that BigfootLiveRadio.com?
Well, just go on the front page and search for Bigfoot. Scroll all the way down to the yellow box with the microphone. Click there and you'll see it.
Awesome. You wouldn't mind if we put a link to your radio show on our webpage, would you?
Oh, hell no. Go ahead. We got, I think it's 3.5 million listeners every Wednesday night.
Oh,
around
wow.
The globe.
That's, yeah, we'll put a link on that way so, you know, people can link to it from our website so they can check your radio show. I know we only have a couple seconds left, but would you mind giving out your website to the folks listening again real quick?
I sure will. It's searchingforbigfoot.com, and our radio show every Wednesday night, Pacific time, 7 p.m., is BigfootLiveRadioShow.com also. I got to tell you and your listeners that we just released today the long-awaited movie, Bigfoot Lives 2. The only place you can get it is right there on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Just go to shopping for Bigfoot there. You'll be able to order it.
Awesome.
Fellas, thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, it was a hoot. I like meeting you guys, and I enjoyed some of the great questions you had.
Absolutely. We had fun, and it was, you know, it was educational to learn to get to know, you know, this is the first time we had someone on about Bigfoot, so we were excited to have you on, and we really appreciate you spending 45 minutes with us. We really appreciate that.
Well, it means a lot to me, too, and I hope down the line, you guys, if I'm ever in the area, you can come out and make it on one of the expeditions.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. You can. You have a great evening, Tom.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Hey, Bill, that was interesting. You know, you're getting firsthand experience of someone out there, you know, doing Bigfoot research.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear about the Patterson film, too.
Yeah. So from what I'm getting at it, what he's saying, he's saying it was a hoax.
Right.
Well, I know they did a lot of testing and computer animation graphics and, you know, biometric studies and all that, but, you know.
I think the explanation that I'm getting a weird echo.
Right. I'm still here.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think his explanation with the shoulder pads and the waders on the floor at the butt with the pillow, that makes a lot of sense because it's going to make his arms look longer and more awkward, you know?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I can see what, you know, I'd like to, you know, if there's any doubters, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it out there. If there's any believers that, any listeners out there that, you know, have a different opinion on that, we'd love to hear from you. Even if you want to come on the show, we'd love, you know, to hear from you what your opinions are. I think that'd be interesting. Whether it, you know, that leads into my next topic. We are looking for guests, so if you're a paranormal group out there that listens to the show and you want to promote your team, we'd love to have you come on and talk some ghosts. Even if you're a cryptozoology, you know, group out there, if you're a Bigfoot searcher and all the cryptozoology, we haven't had much about that on, we'd love it. Or even if you're UFO hunters, we'd love to have any groups out there. But yeah, it was great to have someone on talking about Bigfoot. I know we've mentioned it a few times, and you know some paranormal groups have been on some Bigfoot excursions, but you know not having a show, you know, strictly on Bigfoot.
Well, that kind of upset me that he threw the Patterson film from.
Hey, Bill, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let me call you right back.
Okay.
I think we got a bad connection. All right, hang on one second, folks. We're gonna call our co-host Bill back in. Skype sometimes could be a bugger.
Hey, how's better?
Yeah, that seems a little better.
Okay. So he kind of upset me about the Patterson film, that he blew that cover, because I actually thought that film was authentic and real. strangely enough. But, you know, hey, you know, I mean, he called it like it is, you know. This guy's no joke. He's got it going on. And I did think I listened to his podcast before, because I was searching about for Bigfoot one time, and I remember.
He's upfront and honest, you know. I know everyone's going to have their critics, you know. Everyone's going to have, you know, their drama, you know. And he's upfront and honest. That's that's all I can expect. But you know what we didn't get really into, and the topic I wanted to discuss was the hoax about Georgia.
Yeah, there's a Georgia hoax.
Remember when they found that body in the free and that those two people down there, and he went down there.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask more about that, but you know, it's out on the internet. Everyone can have their opinion about that.
Yeah, you just search, you just Google him, you'll find everything.
Absolutely, but.
Hey, listen, I want to finish up and then wrap up real fast, but I do want to tell the story about this demon possession case that we're working on, interestingly enough. And this, and then we're going to give away something to these paranormal listeners. But, Dev, you know, Kurt, we had somebody contact us. I don't want to go into details. They got some demon sort of thing going on, which is, you know, very interested in it myself. And I know Mark from the group is very interested in it. And we're actually going to go out and you know, see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, I sent it back. Some of the things aren't adding up to as case manager. And this goes out to all the paranormal groups. I got a vibe from this case, and I'm not saying it's a bad vibe or spooky vibe. I'm saying a funny vibe. So I sent it back out to all the paranormal people in our group, and people Googled this woman and Googled the family and Googled the events. And one guy came back and said, hey, you know, that's funny. The same story happened 5 years ago to the same person. And she's also written some books. I don't know what's going on. I do believe that this family might be having some paranormal issues. Mm-hmm. She doesn't live in this house that's having the issues. But what I'm saying, Kurt, it's do your homework. I mean, Google's there, you know? I mean, that's the biggest search engine.
Mm-hmm.
And to find somebody, you know, it kind of upset me that it's...
Well, it's kind of weird. Is it coincidence or is it just, you know, I mean...
Yeah, what's the deal? That's what right.
Have you confronted them about this?
Not yet. And, that, you know...
How do you do something like that without being... Like, you don't want to be a... You know, you don't want to be rude. I mean, I know you're going to be very professional about that, but is it... How do you come across, you know...
It's interesting, you know, because we travel as a group, usually typically three at the minimum, four or five. That's our number, because, you know... Mm-hmm. You need a psychic, you need a video, you need an audio, and, you know, so there's a couple photographers, so, and it's hard to get five people together or four people together in one car. So, on that note, this woman says, well, she only wants one person to come out. And I thought, well, so I threw that out to the group, and of course, everybody felt the same way that nobody, and I also wrote that it was my, and I kind of led them on, but I said it was my feeling that not one person should go anywhere alone, because if you're in a room with three people, not that anything malicious is going to happen or dangerous, it's easy to coerce and confuse one person, one set of eyes and ears.
It's safer, and you always go and you never...
That's right.
I think it's for safety reasons.
Safety too, right. Yeah, you don't want to send a woman in there. So we agreed, and I told this to her, and she was supposed to email me some dates. I got to call her back. She hasn't emailed me yet. But that's where that stands. I guess it's difficult. You're right, Kurt, and it's kind of confusing. So right now we're going to go forward with a preliminary and meet the people and make a judgment call and figure out if we want to
be... Yeah, I wouldn't do a full scale. I'd do a general interview session with them to get a feel, you know, get a lot of, as much information as you can.
Right. Yeah. And that's about it for me. But that's just a little tidbit. So I do want, you know, the first five people that go to our website, prrradio.com, use the contact us form and write something about a CD, DVD, or 100 years. So the first five people that are able to go onto the website and, log on and say, hey, I want my free DVD, and don't forget to give us your mailing address. And you could be anywhere in the world. We'll send this out to you. It's the first 200?
First 100 episodes of PIR Radio.
The first 2 years and 100 episodes, right? For the
yes.
Two came in.
Yeah, actually but, 2 years, 2 months, because we had a little time off because of my move last.
That was a good move. Anyway, that's it for me, you know, and I really enjoyed our guest, Tom.
Absolutely.
He's the expert. What more can you ask for?
I enjoyed it. Do you know who we have next week?
I don't.
We have a group from Canada. I believe it's Northern. It's Northern Paranormal Investigators out of Canada. So it's going to be interesting. The show banner is located on the homepage of PIR Radio. So yeah, we're going to have them on. It's going to be a cool show.
You know these guys from Canada. These Canadian guys.
I think
guys,
it's actually the North. Yeah, it's.
They do their own thing, you know. They got a whole.
And you know what? If you take a look at their logo, it's pretty cool. So yeah, and then I know they're the last part of our news and events page, so I'll update that. Once they're on, I'm going to give them a chance to, you know, once it gets later to the towards the end of the, maybe the weekend, I'll update the podcast or the news and events with upcoming guests. But if you're interested in being a guest on PIR Radio, feel free to email me at kurt@pirradio.com. We would love to, you know, have any, we're open to any topic. You know, we've had conspiracy theorists, we've had UFO, now we've had cryptozoologists, paranormal, we actually had chemtrails on. We're open to anything, any topic.
Awesome.
So we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a guest, contact us. Bill, do you have any shout-outs before we go?
That's it. I just hope that we were able to solve this case, and I hope we can help these people, I mean, and whatever help is, you know?
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll have an update next week for next week's show.
That'd be awesome.
So, well, we're going to get out of here, so until next week.
Keep it paranormal.
And hopefully Tom had a paranormal radio experience he won't forget. And don't forget to check his website out, searching Bigfoot.com or check our website out, www.pirradio.com. Alrighty, folks, you guys have a great night, and we'll see you next Monday live. Bye. Good night.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedtube.com.